Right now, we're recapping some of the month's big headlines in state politics, starting with last week's State of the State address by Governor Evers. He announced a new commission to draw nonpartisan election maps and present them to the legislature after the 2020 census. He also called lawmakers into a special session to address our state's dairy crisis, potentially appealing to rural voters in a big election year. So do you support the governor's proposal to help dairy farmers under pressure? Does the legislation go far enough? How do you think Republicans in the legislature should respond? We're at 800-642-1234. Laurel White is WPR's state capitol reporter, and she co-hosts the WPR Politics podcast. Laurel, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So during the State of the State address, Governor Evers called the legislature into a special session to address the dairy crisis, and he hoped the legislature would take action this week. What is the status of that?
So we do know that Assembly Speaker Voss said that he doesn't expect the Assembly in particular to come in this week. He wants a little bit more time to look over the proposals from the governor, kind of go through the process, have the debate with Democrats, sort of look at the short and long-term solutions to the dairy crisis in Wisconsin and kind of how the majority wants to move forward with that. Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald had a little bit more of an open stance when we asked him about it. He said that he's going to gavel in the special session this week, which is kind of that ceremonial move to start the process. He didn't say that he expected lawmakers to be on the floor this week to start discussing those things, but he said he fully expects the Senate to take some action and do some things in the realm. So,
would you expect that this would be taken up by committees?
Yeah, so this will go through the regular legislative process. So bills that we have now from the Democrats, if Republicans decide they want to move forward with those, will be introduced. They'll have public hearings and executive sessions in the committees. Then they'll go to the floor, be debated and passed, then signed just like regular bills. I think that's really important to point out because we are working on somewhat of a condensed time frame right now. Lawmakers are expecting to wrap up the current session by the end of February. At least that's what was sort of expected before the special session emerged. So it's going to be interesting to see whether the special session action is confined to that previous time period that everybody was talking about, or if that extends things out a little bit into, March or April.
What's in this dairy package?
So there are several bills. It's a package of eight bills, I believe. And they do a pretty wide variety of things. So one bill would create what the governor is calling the Wisconsin Initiative for Dairy Exports. And this does something that he talked about in his State of the State address. He wants to increase U.S. dairy exports to 20% of the export market. So that's something that he says will help kind of bolster the industry. Another proposal would create several new grant programs. This is something that the governor has talked an awful lot about. Grants for dairy processing plants, so kind of other parts of the industry, producer education programs, a small farm diversity grant, and that grant in particular would award up to $50,000 a year to farmers looking to diversify their crop, so add another crop. We've sometimes heard about dairy farmers when they can adding hemp into their crop in recent years, because Wisconsin just legalized hemp, obviously, in recent years. So kind of a broad variety of things the governor's looking to do.
We're doing a roundup on politics with WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White. You can join in. What do you want to know about the pending battle over purging thousands of registered voters? What was your reaction to Governor Evers' State of the State address last week? We're at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Laurel, the legislature's nonpartisan fiscal bureau released new estimates last week on the financial health of our state government. What does that picture look like?
So this is a chunk of money that lawmakers were and weren't expecting. So let me flesh that out a little bit. There had been some speculation that the fiscal bureau was going to come back in and say, we're expecting to take in more tax revenue than previously projected. There were just some some chatter around the Capitol about that happening. Well, that did end up happening. And so what lawmakers have to do now is that that surplus of money that wasn't expected, or the projected amount of money that wasn't expected, is divided into two. And half of it goes into what's called the state's rainy day fund, sort of the state savings account. And the other half, lawmakers get to decide what they want to do with. And of course, everybody kind of has a different idea about how they want to spend that money. So Republican lawmakers are talking about possibly passing a tax cut before the end of this legislative session, so just in the next several weeks. We don't know, of course, exactly what that would look like, but Senator Fitzgerald actually raised the prospect of a property tax cut when we talked to him at the end of last year, and maybe just making some switches to how technical colleges are funded in Wisconsin and taking that off individuals' property tax bills. So we'll look at how that kind of plays out going forward. Democrats have pushed back and said they would rather use the money for programs, particularly programs related to mental health in Wisconsin. That's something that the legislature has spent some money on recently, but in their opinion, not enough.
And how much money are we talking about here?
So after it's divided into two, I believe it's about 400,000. So it's 400 million rather. Right. So 400,000 would not be a sizable chunk for the tax cut, right?
Wouldn't go too far.
Right. So they're going to talk about how they want to divvy that up going forward.
Let's look at another piece of the governor's address, State of the State. He announced a new commission that will recommend how the state's election maps should be redrawn after the 2020 census. Have we learned more details about what this commission would look like?
So that's a great question, and we're actually going to find out a lot more about that this morning, because the governor is going to be having an event at the Capitol at 8:30 this morning to talk about this executive order and what the commission is going to look like. So we don't have those nitty-gritty specifics yet, but we do know what he said in his speech, which was, we're going to create this commission and we're not going to put consultants or lobbyists or people who have been elected officials on this commission to draw the next set of legislative maps in Wisconsin. I think it's really important to mention that because this commission is being created through an executive order, it's not going to have the force of law. The maps that it draws aren't going to be the sort of default legislative maps for the state. They're really going to be more of, I guess, a suggestion would be a good way to kind of frame it. And GOP leaders have said that they're planning on moving forward with the legislative map drawing process as they've known it forever. And so what we're going to have here is a little bit of what we saw with the state budget, where Republicans do their thing and the governor presents his own thing.
WPR's State Capitol reporter Laura White is our guide as we talk through recent developments in state politics. What do you think of the governor forming this commission to redraw the state's election maps? How do you think these maps should be adjusted after the 2020 census? What issues do you think the legislature should address before they leave the Capitol in a few weeks? What is your top priority? We're at 800-642-1234. There's more State Cap in just a moment. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. You're with us for the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We are recapping the past month in state politics with an eye on some of the biggest headlines. A newly introduced package of water quality bills has broad bipartisan support and some momentum. Other legislation, though, seems to be stalled in the Capitol. What news or developments have been you following from the Capitol? What legislation are you monitoring? We're at 800-642-1234. Laurel White is WPR State Capitol reporter, and she stays with us. Laurel, there's been a lot of attention over the past month on this battle over removing more than 200,000 voters from registration databases. What is the status of that?
So we've had some big news on that recently, actually, and it basically boils down to the state Supreme Court deciding not to take that case and bypass the lower courts to do so. So what had happened was the plaintiffs, the Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty, had petitioned the state Supreme Court to essentially bypass the state appeals court and take the case more quickly, kind of assuming that it was going to make its way there. That moves the whole process up a little bit in terms of, you know, getting a decision before the April election potentially or the November election. The state Supreme Court decided that they didn't want to do that. They actually split on a 3-3 decision on whether to take the case over the appeals court. So what that triggered was the appeals court saying, all right, well, the Supreme Court isn't going to take this from us, so now we can issue some decisions. They issued the decision that they were going to stay the lower court's order, the state circuit court's order, that said those 200,000 folks needed to be removed from voter rolls. And they also stayed a contempt of court ruling that the lower court—
Oh, because they were going to make the Elections Commission pay each day.
Exactly. They were going to fine them per day, certain commission members that had voted against removing individuals from the rolls during different Elections Commission meetings. So the way it stands right now, because of those appeals court rulings, the holds that are now on the lower court, basically nothing has changed. Because the and when I say nothing has changed, we're kind of back to the status quo before the lawsuits were even filed, because the first court said the process isn't working, we need to remove these people, and now the appeals court has stayed that. So those 200,000 individuals that we've been talking about, they're staying on the voter rolls, they're going to be there moving forward, and now we're just waiting. That's going to be the case until another court makes a different decision.
Looking at the water legislation, Republicans and Democrats announced bipartisan legislation to improve water quality this month. What are some changes that the package of bills would make?
So this is a big package of bills, and this is interesting. It cost about $10 million. Some of the appropriations in the bills would be one time. Others would be continuing. This is something that came out of a bipartisan coalition of lawmakers that was created to take on the issue. So we see this sometimes in the Capitol with certain issues, but that means these proposals have a little bit of a different flavor than some of the partisan conversations that we sometimes have about big issues like this. So some of the examples, one bill would create a new Office of Water Policy within the UW Extension, which handles a lot of water quality programs for the state. And that office would be, under the proposal, tasked with coordinating a lot of the other state services and programs. So a little bit kind of like an oversight agency, a new one to look over all those things. Kind of like we talked about with the dairy proposals, there are a variety of grant programs as well for the state to help support different initiatives or different groups that are already doing things. So there would be a $1 million program, a nitrogen optimization pilot program, which I'm sure everyone is familiar with what that would do. But basically what that would do is help farmers figure out how to use manure in different ways. Okay. And perhaps more efficiently, so they're using less manure on their fields to, you know, reduce the potential for groundwater contamination and runoff and things like that. We often have those conversations when we're talking about manure in Wisconsin. So
would the water package kind of move through the legislation altogether as a package? Is there anything that is an outlier here in this package?
Well, you know, you never really know. I think what comes to mind when you ask that question is a package of homelessness bills that we've been talking about a lot in the Capitol. That's a similarly sized package of bills. And we've just had one of those pass so far in the state Senate. All of them passed the state assembly, and they all passed with similar levels of support, I think, in the assembly. So to see them being held up in the Senate, you just really never know how these things are going to play out and what things are going to stand out a little bit more to certain individuals and kind of raise red flags for them. So in theory, yes, this should all kind of move together, but something could always splinter off.
We're doing a roundup on politics with WPR's State Capitol reporter Laurel White. She's here. You can join in. What issues do you think the legislature should address before they leave the Capitol in a few weeks? What's your top priority? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Laurel, you bring up the homelessness package of bills. And last week, the Senate approved one of eight bills from this package aimed at addressing homelessness. Which proposal did the Senate advance to Governor Evers?
So this is a bill that would create a grant program. We're having a morning of talking about grant programs.
Win the day.
Yep. So this is a $500,000 grant program to help shelters across the state provide services and improve services and kind of get that extra support from the state.
Are there any other proposals to address homelessness that are gaining traction?
So this is, you know, like I said, these proposals have made it out of the assembly. I think members of the assembly really want these to make it through the Senate before the end of the legislative session. This is a $3.7 million package overall, and it has a lot of initiatives, you know, supporting existing services, you know, for homeless individuals, also prevention services, job training. One of the big bills in here would provide $900,000 annually to a housing assistance program, helping people get into stable housing is a big initiative in this package. So this is something that Assembly Republicans in particular have been focusing on for the past several years, the issue of homelessness in Wisconsin, and this was their big push this year. I think there's a little bit of frustration within the Assembly that this has been held up in the Senate, where some people have concerns about the price tag is one thing I've heard about. And then they're concerned that there might be a little bit of redundancy with some services that are already offered. They didn't feel like they were really looped into the drafting process on this. So
let's switch gears here and talk about dark stores. There's seems to be broad bipartisan support this session for legislation that would close the so-called dark store loophole. That's where retailers try to cut their property taxes. What is the status of this legislation?
So this is legislation that's been floating around the Capitol for quite a while. Basically, what this bill would do is it would take away the ability for big box stores to loop in big box stores that are vacant into their property tax assessments and to use those vacant storefronts to lower their own property taxes, kind of in that comparison situation. It does have bipartisan support. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle have signed on to it. In the past, similar scenario. It has made it a little bit further in the legislative process in other sessions. This session, it actually hasn't been scheduled for a public hearing in either house yet, in either chamber yet. So it's definitely stalled this session. And like I said earlier, we don't have a lot of time left for it to move forward.
Well, this month, the state Senate confirmed two more of Governor Evers' cabinet picks, and that's been something we've been watching for quite some time because this has been quite a slow process. We saw Caleb Frostman as Secretary of the Department of Workforce Development, and then Joaquin El Toro as Executive Director of the Housing and Economic Development Authority. So which cabinet positions remain unconfirmed?
So we have seven that are still unconfirmed, and we've got some biggies in there, some departments that people, even those that don't interface with state government really often or think about state government, are the kind of the big departments. So the State Department of Transportation, for example, the Secretary Craig Thompson there hasn't been confirmed. Department of Health Services Secretary Andrea Palm hasn't been confirmed yet. Department of Tourism, Sarah Meany, hasn't been confirmed. So these are all individuals that, for various reasons, some lawmakers have raised some concerns about either their history before they became a part of the Evers administration or how they've been doing their job since they took office. So as you mentioned before, this process is moving much more slowly than we've seen with previous administrations. So it's kind of a unique dynamic because usually lawmakers are having a hearing and confirming these individuals really early on after their appointment. And you're sort of looking at their record almost like a job interview. Is this person qualified for this job? And the conversation for these folks that are left is not only were you qualified when the governor appointed you, but how have you been doing the job? Do we like the things the steps that you've taken in this leadership role in the cabinet. And so the dynamic this time is just kind of different.
Laurel, thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol reporter, and she co-hosts the WPR Politics podcast. Coming up, the state cap continues with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. What questions do you have for Representative Voss from Burlington? Are you a fellow resident of southeastern Wisconsin or from another part of the state? What issues do you think lawmakers should be tackling? You have a line to Speaker Voss right after this news update. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we have Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on the line. We're going to move through a range of topics, including the dairy crisis, redistricting, where the political parties are finding agreement. Where do you think Republicans and Democrats could be working together to improve state policy? How do you think lawmakers could be helping dairy farmers and rural communities right now? What questions do you have for Speaker Voss? We're at 800-642-1234. Robin Voss has represented the 63rd Assembly District since 2005, which includes a large portion of Racine County, including the communities of Burlington, Rochester, Sturtevant, and Union Grove. He's been Assembly Speaker since 2013. Representative Voss, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thanks, Kate. Good morning.
Good morning. So last week, Governor Evers called the legislature into a special session to address the state's dairy crisis, and he hoped to see action as soon as tomorrow, but you've said that there won't be floor votes on the governor's proposals this week. Can you give us a status update on that?
You know, that certainly could have happened, but because of the process that Governor Evers chose to follow, we're going to go through our normal process, too. You know, the ag crisis is something that really hits every single Wisconsinite, be it someone living in a city who just has to buy their food or someone who lives in a more rural area and grows it. So there are certainly things that we can work together on. But the normal way that we have gone about it, take an example, our water quality task force, which was formed by Republicans, but done in a bipartisan way. Before any of it was announced, we actually took the time to meet with Governor Evers. We took the time to explain to his staff, here's all the things that are in the bills. We hope you'll put out, a supportive statement so we can show that we're united in trying to address this problem. He didn't do it exactly that way, but we thought that was the best way to do it. So with the egg crisis, if he would have taken the time to maybe reach out like we did and say, here's some of the ideas that we'd like to work on, perhaps there are things we can do together, it probably could have made the process go a little bit quicker. But now, because none of us were involved in it, frankly, from what I understand, even the Farm Bureau wasn't involved in these, we're going to go through our normal process because there could be some good ideas in there. But frankly, our members just have to take the time to talk to folks in their district and actually understand what's in the policies, because from first blush, there are some good ideas in there, but it's an awful lot of rehashing ideas that he had in the budget, which really just expanded the bureaucracy in Madison and added more state positions.
Representative, the governor says these proposals would collectively cost $8.5 million. Is that price tag something the state can afford to spend right now?
Oh, I think it's something we could definitely make an investment. Frankly, I think it's probably too small. I certainly think that there are ideas that we could look at that would have a much bigger impact than hiring bureaucrats in Madison.
What would make a greater impact?
When you look at the things that cost a farmer the most, right, it is property taxes, it is health insurance. One idea, I was just at a Farm Bureau social I stopped by yesterday, and the idea that they said would be much more impactful than anything Governor Evers offered would actually be to be able to allow sole proprietors like a farmer to deduct their health insurance premium. So I think there are other ideas which would do an awful lot more to help the farming community, but it's not to say that some of the ones that he's proposed aren't good that we're going to take a look at. But I just want to make sure we do something that's meaningful and not just political and kind of checking a box.
Republicans have also been talking about approving a tax cut this year. Is there enough funding to approve an aid package for dairy farms and cut taxes for a broad swath of the state's population?
Yeah, when you look at how Wisconsin has changed, remember when Republicans took over, there was no money in our rainy day fund. We had a $3 billion deficit. We had to make dramatic changes to be able to right-size our budget. We've done that. Now we see an $800 million increase. Under state law, half of that is automatically required to go into the state's rainy day fund. So we'll have almost $1 billion in our state savings account, God forbid, when a bad time happens. But the other money should definitely be either used to reduce debt or used to be able to go back to the taxpayers. We are not going to expand the size of government, as many of my Democratic friends have talked about, with this one-time money. We know that it's possible because of the growing economy. It actually looks like it's going to be ongoing from what the Fiscal Bureau says, because it's an increase in corporate revenues based on the tax cuts that were enacted by Congress. So it's definitely those tax cuts aren't going away. So we can assume that the revenue isn't going away either. So I think we should make a long-term investment in either tax relief or debt reduction and not use it to grow the size of government.
Let's take a call now. Eric in Madison is with us. Hi, Eric.
Hi. Thanks for my call. Yeah, what's your plans for this failed Foxconn program where we spent $4.5 billion in taxpayers' money? We've confiscated land under emolument clause. The town of Pleasant Prairie and Racine County have experienced huge debt load. Their credit rating has gone down. They have no way to pay back the loans that they've invested for infrastructure and the jobs aren't there. It's a failure, and our roads are a failure.
Eric,
talk about a rainy day fund. How about a bumpy road
fund? All right, Eric, I want to pause right there and get a reaction from Speaker Voss. You know, we didn't hear any mention of Foxconn in Governor Evers' address. Could you imagine the state investment decision would turn out this way?
Well, first of all, Eric obviously gets his false facts. From the Democrat talking point. So let's look at the reality of where we are. Not a single dollar of state money has gone to Foxconn since this project began, because the only incentives are based on whether or not they create the jobs that are required and they make the investments that are actually also required to trigger the partnership between the state and the private sector, which gives a small portion of the money that they invest back. So let's remember, number one, that hasn't happened yet. Number two, I live in Racine County. This guy obviously has not been to the site, because if you go on the Twitter feed, Foxconn Aerials, or if you just drive by the site, you will see massive construction. Tens of thousands of people have already been working on the construction. We have seen that there are huge amounts of investment that are going on all around that area.
Do you anticipate?
Mount Pleasant has not had its credit rating downgraded. That's also another false fact. So, you know, there's so many lies in there that it's hard for me to refute them all.
Well,
but just go and look at the facts.
Do you anticipate Foxconn will make its employment numbers this year?
I do. They actually have already announced that they're going to meet it. Remember, they have to be a little bit over 500 jobs, building their way up to the 13,000, because it's a graduated process. So they've already said they're going to meet and potentially exceed that. And I think that's one of the best parts of this plan. If they don't, they don't get any money.
Let's take another call. Ann is in Campbellsport. Ann, hi.
Hi. I just have one question for Representative Voss. Do you recognize that gerrymandering is wrong, and are you going to work with Governor Evers to end it?
Ann, thanks. Last week, the governor announced a nonpartisan commission that will advise how the state's election maps should be redrawn after the 2020 census. What is your reaction to the governor establishing that commission?
Well, first of all, the state constitution requires that the legislature, elected lawmakers, are the ones who actually write the maps. Now, under our process, Governor Evers has the right to veto the maps if he doesn't think that they're to his liking. So the process will go just like any normal bill. A normal process is the one that we're going to follow. Number two, if you look at the actual results of what's happened in Wisconsin, I know Democrats, because they have lost elections. Don't forget, our majority was earned in 2010. Where we got 60 out of 99 seats under maps that were drawn by a court. We earned the majority in the 1990s and the 2000s under maps that were drawn by courts. So we have had the majority under a bunch of different circumstances, and this is a clear example where Democrats fielding faulty candidates and doing it in a way where their agenda does not appeal to anybody outside big cities like Madison and Milwaukee have failed to earn the votes of Wisconsinites. Because remember, in 2018, there were 55 districts that Tammy Baldwin carried when she got 55% of the vote. So clearly a Democrat can carry many parts and many districts that we drew, even if the rest of the state doesn't necessarily go that way.
Speaker Vest, let's look at process this time. Last time around, the maps were created in this tightly controlled room at a Madison law office. Democrats not part of the process. Will Democratic lawmakers be part of the process in this decade?
You know, we certainly hope so. I mean, they have the right to introduce a bill just like we do, every single legislator. And that's one of the other things. Citizens don't introduce bills. They have to be introduced by a legislature, a member of the legislature. So we're going to follow that traditional process. And they certainly have the right to introduce competing proposals, to go out and build support for it, just like they do, especially having Governor Evers. I'm sure he is going to do that. But let's remember, today, supposedly, they're going to announce another step in this phony, faulty process where Democrats are going to say, we're nonpartisan, and we're going to use a process that we create, once again, with no input from anybody else, to say that maps will be nonpartisan. That's why, you know, they have every right to do it. They can create whatever maps they want to, but the legislature is going to go through the same process that we always have.
What would the downside be of getting more input on how the state's election maps should be redrawn?
Oh, they definitely have the right to do that. I mean, and we'll have a map, but the whole idea of having folks testify to something that's a concept as opposed to a concrete proposal is, once again, this is just Democrats rallying their base. This is not something that actually has a huge appeal to anybody outside of a Democrat activist. And that's what I've seen as I've gone through the process. And that's why they are doing this, to really appeal to people who are already kind of in their side of the aisle.
Republican senators had to sign non-disclosure pledges to look at maps in their own districts. Do you anticipate Republican lawmakers will be required to sign these secrecy oaths to look at drafts as these maps come together?
Well, first of all, Kate, you're showing your bias, because calling it a secrecy oath is the Democrat talking point. So first of all, they were not secrecy oaths. They were done where anybody
non-disclosure
with a lawyer.
Right.
Yeah,
non-disclosure pledges. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anybody who goes to meet with a lawyer knows that when you are in the middle of a trial, you can't go out and talk about it, because you could potentially be called as a witness, or you could be brought into, you know, having that discussion outside with your attorney. So when you meet with an attorney, there's an understanding that it's kept confidential. So I don't know if we're going to use that process again. That was not my choice last time, but I certainly, you know, don't want to say we will not until we talk to our attorneys and make sure that we follow the law and do it in a way that allows us to have the best possible maps adopted for the state of Wisconsin.
It is a conversation with Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on the line. How do you think Republicans can work with a Democratic governor? Where should the parties dig in? Where do you see room for compromise? And where should lawmakers increase their efforts right now? What issues matter most to you? Share your questions, your story, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We'll be back with Representative Robin Voss for more discussion, more conversation here on the State Capitol Report on the Ideas Network. Stay with us. If you're just joining us, we have Assembly Speaker Robin Voss on the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. What are your priorities for the state legislature at the end of its law writing session approaching in a few weeks? Is your top concern water quality or health care, education, something else? Share your priorities, 800-642-1234. And Speaker Voss stays with us. Let's go back to the phones now. Steve is joining us from Sun Prairie. Hi, Steve.
Hi. First, I want to thank the speaker for calling out the bias. I think more of that is necessary. And one of the things that this shows is that, you know, you guys changed your GAB a couple years ago to have an elections commission, which I think there's three Democrats nominees and three Republican nominees that are on that board. And yet it's still being run by Madison liberal hacks, and the Republican nominees don't appear to be standing up to it. Wondering what you guys can do to get that to happen, or move the elections committee, the staffers out of Madison, so we can get some fairness in the process.
Steve, thanks for the call. Assembly Speaker, what is your take on the elections process?
You know, when we set up the new Elections Commission, we intentionally had it even between Republicans and Democrats, which would mean in order to make decisions that would impact on our elections, you'd have to have both sides agreeing. So we would not have what we had before, which was a rogue agency that continually favored liberals. So I think now we have a process. Yes, it's frustrating because we have to get Democrats to agree that voter fraud is a problem. We have to get Democrats to agree that if somebody doesn't actually live in an address, you have to say that they no longer are entitled to vote there, which is what state law says. We have three Democrats on the commission who are perfectly fine with allowing 200,000 people that aren't verified to live at their address, that probably have either, many have either moved or left the state, to still be on our voting roll so people could potentially commit fraud. I think that is egregious. I think it's wrong. But I certainly think that the system that we set up, which says you have to get both sides to agree, is going to create this kind of frustration. So, yes, I wish we were able to fix it. I wish we were able to get a process that was more fair. But when you have Democrats involved in helping to run elections like this, sometimes you have these unintended consequences that we really can't get around.
Speaker Voss, we've touched down on a number of issues here so far, but what are your top priorities for the assembly before lawmakers head back to their districts in a month or so? There's very little time.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, I formed the Speaker's Task Force on Water Quality, so those bills will come up for hearings and votes in February. We know that we have a package that we have brought forward, which is going to make sure that we keep people who deserve to be behind bars there. So we're going to increase some penalties. We passed a bill already dealing with the ability for people to have, the ability to go back into the private sector after they've served their time. So I think there's a package of bills that will really hopefully keep people safer. We've seen an increase in crime, especially in areas outside of Milwaukee. So we know that that's a topic that's important to many people around the state. We are also looking to finish the bills that we put forward on adoption, on suicide prevention. We're going to figure out a way to make sure we get that money back to the citizens of Wisconsin and not spend it on growing the bureaucracy. And I will say, I give Governor Evers credit for finally recognizing that rural Wisconsin has issues too, especially with the ag crisis that's happening. So we'll definitely come forward and deal with that as well. So we have a busy calendar, but our intention is to get everything done by the end of February, which has been the norm for the past 8 to 10 years.
Let's go to Ed now in Madison. Hi, Ed.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Assemblyman Voss, I appreciate the work that the Assembly did this past week in passing a bill to fund the work on dyslexia in the schools. I guess the only part that I'm sort of not quite happy with, I've worked in the area of special education for over 25 years, and I've worked with schools directly, with teachers directly, et cetera. What I've found is that there's a handful of programs available that really, really work, but they're expensive. So most school districts go with the option of everything but that type of solution. What in that funding is possible to be used across the state so that school districts can actually hit that topic on the head instead of working a little bit at a time? Those kids can't wait.
Ed, thanks for the call. Speaker Voss, how are you approaching dyslexia in policy?
You know, Ed has a really good point. And we had a Ledge Council study committee led by my friend Bob Culp, who's had a real passion for this issue. And they came out with a package of bills. I didn't appreciate how controversial some of the ways to deal with dyslexia are, where unfortunately some educators feel that the current system is working, and we know that it's not. So that's how we passed that package of bills. You might remember in the budget, we passed the largest increase in special education funding in a generation. So I think that's a positive that every single Republican voted for, because hopefully much of that money will go into making sure that if kids get early intervention, they don't necessarily need to have the same lifelong intervention that could potentially be much more expensive. So I think we're heading in the right direction. I certainly am proud of the work that we've done on that topic, and we'll keep working on it.
Let's go to Steve now in Laval. Hi, Steve.
Hello.
Hi.
I'd just like to mention to Mr. Voss that the Republicans, it won't matter come next election if they don't get on board with the people of Wisconsin and vote for this medicinal marijuana. You're going to end up losing the whole state. Everything that you guys have worked for is going to go right out the window.
Steve, thanks for the call. Speaker Voss, you know, it sounds like medicinal marijuana is something that Steve would very much support legalizing. You know, where do you feel the legislature is on the issue of marijuana?
You know, I support legalizing medicinal marijuana in a very narrow way. I want to make sure that it's used for people who truly are sick and not for people who say they are. But I think that if we can give people an option, for some folks, it's not a panacea, it's not a cure, but for some people, it's a way to deal with chronic pain. So I have supported that. I was one of the first Republicans to come out in favor of it. And I think that over time, we are able to showcase to other Republicans that this is something that we should consider. And that's why we'll keep moving toward that process. I think we are significantly further along than we were when I began this argument with one other colleague, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. But change like this is not going to happen easily, because we've also seen that in other states they have had serious issues with it. Increased number of inattentive drivers. How do you deal with folks who are on the job and using medicinal marijuana where they could potentially be fired? So there's a lot of issues that we have to work through to do it right. So have faith that it will happen, but just maybe not as quickly as some people might think, where we could just snap our fingers and make it happen.
Vice President Mike Pence is visiting the Capitol tomorrow for a rally, a school choice rally. In the state budget, Governor Evers proposed scaling back school voucher programs because he says the way they're funded takes money from public schools. Are you planning to expand school choice in Wisconsin this year?
Well, I would love to, but that has zero chance under Liberal Democrats. I mean, we all know that they are bought and paid for by the teachers union, so there is very little chance that they are going to sign up for reform. Even nationwide, Democrats used to be for charter schools, which really are a public school, but doing things in a different way. But once the teachers union kind of said, oh, no, no, never going to happen, they've all backed away from that as well. So the only people who are trying to reform our education system are Republicans like me and my colleagues, where we believe that every parent should have the choice to go to the best school for their kids. Now, I went to a public school where I live. We have excellent public schools, but it doesn't necessarily mean that every single child in that school has the same chance for success. So why would we not do something that is cheaper for taxpayers, because we know it costs less to educate a child in a choice school than it does in a public school, and give the parents the option to choose what's best for their son or daughter? So I would love to expand school choice. We've got a great opportunity to showcase the things that have happened in Wisconsin, where choice students are more likely to graduate from high school, they're more likely to go to college, they have higher satisfaction. So all the indicators really should show an expansion of choice, but because of the politics behind the Democrat Party, I think it's unlikely.
A few seconds left. Attorney General Josh Call has been pushing the legislature to pass a sexual assault kit bill that would make storage policies developed under his predecessor, Brad Schimmel, official state law. The bill passed the Senate. Do you plan to schedule it for a vote in the Assembly?
We're actually going to offer a package this week where we think we've made some improvements to what was passed in the state Senate. We do know that the Attorney General Brad Schimmel, the Republican who Josh Call beat, was the one who put this entire process into place. And now, and of course, Josh Call is taking credit for the work done by somebody else. But either way, so my hope is that we actually get a bill that's passed, but do it in a way that improves the process and not just kind of locks in what was already law and doesn't necessarily need to happen. So I'm optimistic. We'll show that this week we have a better idea, and hopefully we can get that across the finish line onto Governor Evers' desk.
Speaker Voss, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me. Have a good day.
You too. Robin Voss is Speaker of the State Assembly and represents part of Racine County, including the communities of Burlington, Rochester, Sturtevant, and Union Grove. Just ahead, it's an hour-long conversation about the state of labor unions in our country and here in Wisconsin. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is the State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.